Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Good morning. How do we ask for things from God? Through prayer. God answers all of our prayers, whether we like the answer or not. But because we are His children and He loves us, He gives us gifts. They're gifts because we didn't ask for them, but He gives them to us anyway. Usually they're unexpected, and those are always the best gifts of all. So how does He deliver these gifts? Through the title of my testimony this morning, through dreams, visions, and whispers from God. As an adult, I have experienced all three, and I wonder if God has spoken to you in the same way. The first one was a dream I had the day we had buried Jan's grandfather, Roy Barlow. He had been gassed in World War I and given 6 months to live. He died in 1978, so he outlived all the doctors who had given up on him. When I met him in 1971, I found him to be a quiet man who spoke sparingly, but once he did speak, you listened. He was only about 5'5", had a myriad of ailments, and walked slowly, always hunched over. The night of his funeral, I had a vivid dream about him. I could see a field laid out before me with a row of Italian cypress trees bordering this side. Out of the corner of my right eye, I saw a figure walking across the field, and it only took me a moment to realize it was Mr. Barlow. But something was different. He was walking upright, not stooped over. Had a confident stride in his step, and when he got to the middle of the field, he turned and waved at me. Then turning back, he walked quickly across the field until he was out of sight. Now, when I woke up, I shook my head wondering why I would have a dream like that. I never really sat down and talked to him about anything. But when I relayed the dream to Jan's grandmother, Gladys, she was thrilled beyond belief. You see, Ms. Barlow was a strict, by-the-Bible, fundamental Christian, and she said she took it as a sign. My next visit from God was right after Jan and I started coming to this church. We were waiting for the service to start, and I suddenly got a feeling coming over me. I turned to Jan and I said, "I want to be baptized." And she patted my arm and told me, "Oh, that's nice." See, I didn't know if I had been baptized as a child, so I took it as a sign that I better get cracking. Now, this is where the story takes an interesting turn. Jan claims that as soon as the service was over, I got up, pushed a lot of the older ladies out of the way so I could be the first in line to shake Pastor Lamar's hand, telling him, "I'm Mike Booker, and I want to be baptized." Now, I don't remember pushing anyone out of the way, but if that's the way Jan remembers it, it must be true. The woman hasn't steered me wrong in over 48 years of marriage. The next whisper I heard was about a year later when our youth minister at the time, Lee Mueller, said that the youth would be having special projects to raise money for a new computer. Well, I had just finished a successful sales campaign on eBay, and a voice told me to give 10% of what I had earned to the youth. Again, Jan entered the picture, wondering why I wrote a check of exactly 10%, right down to the penny. She said, "Why didn't you round it off?" "Because that's not 10%. Sometimes I take things a little too literally. Now, the vision that I had that had the most impact on me was the one after our son died in 2005. Now, all of you have probably heard the story before, but my testimonial wouldn't be complete without the retelling. When Jan and I couldn't get in touch with our son in Fort Lauderdale, I was prepared to drive down there to see what the problem was. Our daughter, Leanne, happened to be at the house that day and suggested I call the police in Fort Lauderdale and have them check on Matt. A couple of hours later, two LPD officers were at the door to inform me that the police in Fort Lauderdale had gotten into Matt's apartment and found him dead. They gave me very few details other than the phone number of the detective handling the case. It was decided that Leanne and John, our son-in-law, and I would go down to Fort Lauderdale to clean out Matt's apartment. We left the first thing the next morning. Now, while they cleaned up his apartment, I called the detective that was assigned to Matt's case. He told me it appeared that Matt was at his computer, had a massive heart failure, keeled over, and was dead by the time he had hit the floor. That's when I had a vision of Matt sitting there, then keeling over and hit the floor with a thud. Now, do any of you know what looping is? It's a technique they use in TV and movies that they take the end of one scene and they splice it back to the beginning and play it over and over and over. Hence the term looping. What I didn't expect was having that little scene play out over and over again in my mind over the course of the next several days. Well, by Thursday, Jan knew something was wrong with me, so I told her what I was seeing. She called Pastor Lamar. I went to his office, and we sat and talked about Matt and what I was experiencing. When it was time to leave, Pastor Lamar offered a prayer. So we stood, he took my hands, I bowed my head and closed my eyes. And the vision started up again. Except at the last second, instead of Matt hitting the floor with a thud, a pair of hands caught Matt and carefully placed him on the floor. I opened my eyes and wasn't sure how I should feel about what I saw in my mind's eye until later, and the day after, and the week after that. You see, I saw plainly a pair of hands carefully place Matt on the floor. And to this day, I cannot make myself replay that vision. Now, as I put the finishing touches on this finely crafted testimonial, the thought occurred to me, no, this isn't nearly complete. God does not communicate with you in such an intimate way without some purpose. So I asked for an answer, and here's what I got. My dream about Roy Barlow was to tell me that no matter how broken or diseased your body is here on earth, when you have gone to your great reward, you will be made whole again. The whispering in my ear about being baptized was something God wanted me to see or wanted me to do. You see, I was raised in a non-churched home, and since it happened so soon after coming back to the church, maybe it was a sign I needed to visit here more often, and I have. And finally, no matter how awful the burden of losing a loved one, God will comfort you in some way. For me, seeing Matt just hitting the floor with that thud was probably the most disturbing part of my vision. But God's caring hands catching him and placing him gently on the floor was the greatest source of comfort. So all my dreams and visions have taught me lessons that will sustain me for the rest of my life. And I hope that my story has helped you. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we are. Good morning. I see I'm back. I want to thank everybody that supported this program so far. Like the pastor said, you can't do it by yourself. There's no way. If you are, you'd be almost invincible. And I don't know anybody that's invincible except the Lord. Excuse me. The message today is overcoming obstacles by faith. And everybody looks up the word faith. It's a confident belief, a trust. And believe it or not, the dictionary says a belief in God. Religious conviction, loyalty, allegiance, sincerity, honesty. The word overcome is to conquer, defeat, prevail, to overpower or exhaust. God gives us that power. He gives us that ability. So if you all rise to the reading of the verses, if you're able, we'll do it. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome this world, our faith. He who is he who overcomes the world, but who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You may be seated. A lot of times in life, we face difficulty, and it challenges our beliefs and our faith. Today, I hope to give you some examples of people that have overcome and been successful. There seems to be a disturbing trend among Christians today. A few of them have some symptoms: anxiety, anxiousness, fear, worry. And they let that affect their faith to the point that it has caused some of them to be sick. And it's amazing that it says, the supernatural giving power paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ and replacing it with the anguish of your circumstances. We should not let those feelings overcome the belief in our blood, of the blood of Jesus Christ, that he came for us. The gift I'm referring to is the victory over sin, the supernatural peace that came the moment you placed your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. I wonder how many of you this morning are in a state of war over some circumstances in your life. By war, I mean you're in the middle or the midst of facing a battle, whether it be family, job, health, spiritual responsibilities, or any other aspects that have robbed you of your peace. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So if we look at what he's done for us in our lifestyles, we shouldn't have the anguish that we see today. A lot of it's caused by the pressure in society. Maybe you said, "I'm not really at war, but I'm anxious." That's a sin. Uneasy, that's a sin. Worried, that's a sin. Apprehensive, that's a sin. And fear, that's a sin. Any alarm that caused you to be disturbed from the faith that you placed in Jesus Christ is a sin. You see, there is less total dependence on, trust in, and peace through Jesus Christ. You find it more stressful than you did a few years ago. It's true. You see it every morning. Even in the United States, a nation currently expressing or experiencing, enjoying financial upturn stress may be dominating the influence of lives of many. As our economic increases, more Americans are stressed, angry, and worried than at any other time in the past decades. It seems that the healthy economy is no insurance. Depression and physical illness are a result of stress. Yes, stress affects you in profound ways. We must focus on the goodness of God. Receive God's grace, not focus on the obstacles that we face. We all at one time or another have come upon. Have faith in the promise of God, not the dread of this world. We must remember there awaits a great reward for all of us on the other side of this journey. Revelations 21:7 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." If you carry that in heart, you're halfway home. He called you to be an overcomer. You're called to walk in victory, strength, and peace and love. It is time to begin the life of an overcomer through your faith. The faith you receive from Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. For he is the author and the finisher of our faith and will always be on our side no matter what. Many times in the midst of hardships, the accuser of the brethren comes to us and tries to convince us that we're unworthy of God's help in our lives. This is a lie of the enemy, Satan, to prevent us from revealing the help we really need. You've got to know that God can be for you. Who can be against you? Isaiah 40:31 says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings of like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." There are many Bible characters which for one reason or another became weary, sad, despondent over situations in life, but in the end became overcomers because they knew where their faith was. Two such of these are Moses and Josiah. Moses pleaded with God to kill him on one occasion when the people of Israel complained about eating manna. Apparently they were tired. They didn't realize that God was giving them all the nutrients they needed. And the number verse for that is Numbers 11, 14 through 15. Joshua, the great conqueror, was despondent and depressed. At one point, he was ready to quit and go back to the wilderness. But they all came to the source and knew where the promise lay in God's word. 1 Corinthians says, thanks be to God who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cushions our falls. When we admit that we're not immune from sin or temptations, but when and if I fail, I will have his promise, is the promise of the child of God to fall down, but we can never fall out. Just like I said before, he hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. John 10:28 says, "I give you unto this eternal world, they shall never perish. They shall any man pluck them out of my hand." God's saying, never can you take you out of his hand protection. He will always be there. Before I receive, I'm going to give you a testimony of somebody that to me is an example of an extreme overcomer. He served in World War II as a veteran. He fought in the battle which was called Hacksaw Ridge. His faith in God and the words of the Bible enabled him to overcome many issues before he entered the service as well as while he was in. As a young child, he experienced some of the childhood fears many of us may have exposed to. But he was convinced of God's promise and the truth of his word. He let nothing deter him from his faith. The man I'm talking to about is Desmond Thomas Doss, a World War II veteran that personally saved 75 soldiers from the battlefield in Hacksaw Ridge. He pulled them by himself and lowered them down a cliff until he retrieved them. He would not leave until all those wounded laying men were brought back to protection or got medical treatment. He refused to. But before this, when he joined the service, he was a conscientious objector. He refused to carry a gun. The reason he did that was because when he was a younger child, his mother had him take a gun from his father, who in a drunken status threatened to shoot an uncle. And then he swore he would never touch another weapon. Plus, he believed that it was not his right, if he followed God, to kill someone else. So he enlisted as a conscientious objector, became a medic, and he served But there was problems. All the other soldiers in the company gave him heartburn and grief because of his faith. They even threatened him one time. But during the battle, when he pulled all those men back, they were amazed. They could not believe that one man could single-handedly do that. He received the Medal of Honor from the President Truman. President Truman stated he would like to be in his shoes, that there was more honor there than being a president. Desmond's response was, all of it goes to God, because without my word, my faith in God's word, I would not have survived. The Japanese say that during the war, their guns jammed. Grenades went off, missing him. Now, later on, he was wounded, but it was after this battle. Desmond lived to be 87 years old. He had 5 ribs removed, 1 lung removed, but he still had faith in God. And on his final day, he said God would always be with him. Do we have the faith of Desmond? Think about it. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And as the world gives you, do I give it to you. But do not let your heart be troubled or fearful. God's telling us whatever we face doesn't really matter. He's there. He will always be there. And if you have the faith, even that, like the pastor says, of a mustard seed, it will flourish and grow into a beautiful tree. We can gain access to overcome by reading, studying, praying, meditating, and obeying the word of God. We can also gain the strength in our faith when we confess our love, adoration, and praise for God's name. Regardless of the turmoil that may be going around you, for God's power is greater and stronger than any obstacle in your path. We must wait on the Lord to provide us with the answer we need to overcome any situation. For in waiting, we're preparing ourselves to hear his voice, receive his answer. Waiting is the opposite of what the fast-paced world tells us. Everybody wants it now, just like McDonald's. Faith is not a drive-through. You don't pick it up and take it home. It's something you have to work at. It starts and it grows. We demand answers now. We seek immediate solutions to our problems. So how do we wait? Isaiah 30:15 tells us, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I have a little formula. It's called PQT. We must seek our own personal quiet time, away from all the distractions of the world, of our daily lives and the noise. We must cease any activity and let him supply the guidance, confidence, and directions we reflect upon his word. Solitude and silence give us the opportunity to reframe our attitudes from people and events. Our world is blanketed by so much noise and confusion that our souls are chronically stressed. Prayer is by the means which God's strength flows into our lives. As we pray, we allow God to wash away the stress and strain of this hectic world. It is in those quiet moments that we can hear the small but encouraging voice of God. Let God's strength overcome your weakness, heal your inner soul, and as an overcomer, your strength in God, not in yourself. Romans 8:37-38. Christ in his goodness and mercy overcame the evil one, Satan, by his death and resurrection. Christ defeated, overcame, conquered all the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness. Evil no longer has the power over one who is clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Jesus has given us the authority and the power over all issues in life. He wants us to be an overcomer in all that we do or comes our way. The problem is that we have an enemy, Satan, who wants to exploit areas of our lives that cause us distress and heartache, disappointment and difficulties. His object is to make us weary, to lose heart. He seeks to kill or destroy and steal whatever faith we have. He wants us to lose our faith in Christ. The enemy that is loose in today's world will do whatever it takes to attempt to make us lose heart and faith, which will lead to disavowing Christ and our faith. He wants to take many of us down with us as he can. Satan feeds on our weakness and delights in our exploiting our vulnerable points, and all of us have some, whether it be smoking, candy bars, whatever, anything that can lead you to an addiction that would turn you away. So let's look at some of these areas that have potential bringing weakness and or sin into our life. There are many common causes. Some are busy lifestyles, family problems, sickness, health, death, hardness of the heart. Sometimes we turn away from the difficulties of others because we do not want to be bothered. We don't want to get involved with them. Satan will use any of these areas plus whatever else he can perceive as a temptation to weaken us in our faith. Everyone is susceptible to various situations that try our faith. None of us are exempt. But we can extend our mercy of the situation where we don't apply the Word of God to the situation. When the Word of God is applied to it, it will not only receive our spirits, but it will make the crooked path straight again. We must take the Word of God and apply it in all situations. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." When we approach these situations with a spiritual mentality, with the heart of faith, God is able to release, bring forth the joy amidst the difficulties. The joy of our Lord is our strength, which counteracts Satan's tactics of wearing us down. When we have the faith that God wants us to develop in our lives in the midst of these trying situations, then we can find contentment in the adversity that may approach us at any given moment. This contentment shall be the shield of faith that not only causes the enemy to leave us alone, but further releases God's hand of provision in the midst of trial. If you allow God to work his purpose in your life by going to him during the times of difficulty, you will find your place in contentment. And as a result, you will be an overcomer. God has designed you to be, and you will have defeated Satan's attempt to wear you down. And we ask you these questions, you don't have to answer. Where is your faith in relationship to life's difficulties? Are you an overcomer, or have you let the stress of today's world overcome you? Let your faith and trust in God be your shield against all difficulties, Satan's evil, and attempt to discourage us. As you take your connection cards, I would ask that you do this. Memorize Revelation 21:7. Ask God to help me increase my faith. Seek to be an overcomer in all areas of my life. Pray for God's guidance in all things. 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. Again. Again.
Michael, if you'd
give the offering prayer today.
Okay. Will the ushers please come forward? Please bow your heads for a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we give back a portion of all the bounty you have given to us, please bless it and increase it tenfold so that we may be able to do your work here on earth. In the name of your holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please sit down, Mike. Okay, our closing hymn this morning will be number 341 in your hymnals, I Sought the Lord. Please stand as you are able.